Welcome back to These Are Bad Movies. I'm Amy Bell.
And I'm Amanda Ferriante.
And this week we're going to watch a movie that I really love.
It was very influential on your life.
Yes. Really more influential than it should have been, which is probably the problem with this movie. But we're going to watch Indiana Jones.
I don't think that's the problem with the movie. Its influence on your particular life path, I don't think, is the problem with it. Because you wouldn't look at Iron Man and say the problem with that movie is how much it affected Amanda.
Well, now it sounds like we're going to have to do Iron Man.
I've been ready since the outset to handle
Iron Man. And yet has never proposed it. In fact, you were like, hey, Amy, how about this week you expose yourself in your worst moments of your formative years through
really?
Film.
It's that bad? Because like the outcome I've seen from its influence on your life has been very positive.
Sure, but.
Okay, just a little like embarrassed.
That's me managing to make the best of it.
Gotcha.
As an adult.
Okay, I'm seeing the end product and less how we got there.
Yes, you are.
Okay.
So we're going to watch Raiders of the Lost Ark because I think that's the one that exemplifies the most what the Indiana Jones effect was on me.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to completely neglect some of the other steaming piles in the Indiana Jones catalog.
Yeah. So Raiders of the Lost Ark, that's the first one.
Yes.
Okay. Just wanted to clarify that one.
Yes.
Okay. I've probably seen it.
So we're gonna deal with the Nazis element, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Cause the other ones, it's, I don't know, just racist is the best way to describe it.
Yeah, it's like if there aren't Nazis in the other ones, I guess it would just be racist.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're going to do the one with the Nazis in it so that we can at least give me some redeeming qualities.
Wow. I like how you framed it as exposing yourself.
Yeah.
Via audio.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say more than that. I just enjoyed the framing.
Well,
let's just put your heart out there.
We are. It's going to be bad. Yeah.
Well, you've liked them. You currently still like them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
I've never cared for them.
Yeah.
Is that
this is a reason? I knew there was a reason I didn't entirely think I might like you.
You're just getting to it
now.
Yeah,
but this is like, I found the seed. This will be the last episode, I'm pretty sure.
Really? Over Indiana Jones?
It's really important to me.
Montana Smith? This is the man that ends it all?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well.
You better watch it.
So, it's Spielberg, right? Who did the movies? I feel like it was Spielberg.
Probably.
I want to say it was Spielberg. Never been a fan of Spielberg.
Yeah.
Like, I enjoy Jaws. We've done a Jaws episode. It's not a great movie. Yeah. I think Spielberg himself is a hack.
Uh-huh.
He's not an artiste in the way I would.
Okay. Yeah.
But I think the real reason I've never really cared for Indiana Jones, all of the things about it aside, is have you ever tried telling a cat what to do?
Yes.
How'd that go?
Sometimes it was okay, depending on the cat.
Yeah.
What does this have to do with anything?
Your response of obviously or duh or whatever, like, of course I like it. People telling me I should like things has historically not gone over well.
So you don't like this movie just because someone told you to like it?
Everybody told me to like it. It was the other Star Wars in my life.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, that's weird.
Well, it is.
But weird. I guess I can kind of understand that.
Yeah.
But for me, and I think I'll just like lay out the foundational issue with this movie for me, is that I saw this movie and I decided that I wanted to be an archaeologist.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a subscription to Archaeology Magazine and I learned everything I could about archaeology and history. And I kept trying to find like archaeological digs to go on, and like my parents wouldn't let me. And I was like, it probably means it's because they hate me. And,
sounds right.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds right.
Yeah.
And then when it came time to go to college, I wound up majoring in history instead of archaeology, because at that point I realized that archaeology was something that wasn't really conducive to having a life,
mm-hmm.
right? Like anything other than just being on a dig. And it was a lot of like brushing things off with a toothbrush and like it just didn't have a lot of the action element that I think in the back of my mind I thought archaeology should have.
Of course.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to history school instead. And at some point in the course of my studies, I realized that I wasn't actually that into history. I just wanted to beat Nazis. But it took me well into adulthood.
It's like, what's missing? Where's the spark?
Yeah. Where's the beating Nazis portion of this gonna come in?
I have the whip. I have the degree.
Yeah.
When are they gonna show up?
Yeah. And they have shown up, and I did.
But not because of the whip and the degree.
No, no. You didn't actually need a degree in history to, like, hate Nazis.
No.
But I got one! So that's my problem with it.
Yeah, that seems highly personal, and maybe you should keep that to yourself.
Well, Amanda's like, hey, Amy, why don't we do this one?
Well,
we're doing Iron Man next week. I've declared it.
That's fine.
And I hope you embarrass yourself.
You know, don't I always?
All right, let's just watch it. And you better at least pretend to like it before I like have a meltdown.
No.
This is going to be the last episode. We're going to watch it. All right, we're back.
How'd you feel?
I love that movie.
It's okay. It's okay.
Well, I feel like that's maybe a little bit of a step up from what you thought you were going to feel about the movie.
Yes.
You thought you were going to just hate it.
Yes.
So, all right. I'll accept it.
All right. I'm always aiming to be acceptable.
You should be. All right. So, do you want to cover the plot?
Jeez. This is not going to be complimentary.
That's why I want you to do it.
Okay. Let's see. Indiana Jones is someplace, and he's got this local guide with him, and they're running through this temple, and they get to the point past all the booby traps in the temple, and there's an idol, and he has a bag of sand on him, which is a key tool for all rogue archaeologists, and he
it is
really,
it's known.
Really?
Sure.
This was in your little archaeology magazines. Gotta have a bag of sand with all your brushes and
why
stuff?
Not
liar. Anyway, so he adjusts the weight of the sand incorrectly and switches it with the idol, but it still activates the destroy the entire place mechanism. And then come to find out that his local guide is a traitor and takes the idol and leaves Indiana for dead. But Indiana Jones still makes it out, and then we see him giving a boring lecture at an art history museum campus school. And
which I always think of as it must be in Indiana because that's where he got his nickname. I cannot actually separate those things.
It's not his nickname. That's his given name.
I don't believe it.
It's his... Anyway.
Okay. That's just me.
Yeah.
He's called Indiana because he works at a university in Indiana in my head canon.
You know, if we're just going to ignore the movie, I suppose it could be pretty good. It's a terrible lecture. I would not have paid for this man to be on the faculty. But I don't think they really are paying him too much, because some head honcho museum guy comes around and he's like, "You gotta do another job, Indy." And Indiana's like, "Ooh, it's a big one. Do you think this'll like clear my debt and I won't have to do this for the museum anymore?" And I'm like, what does he owe the museum that he has to go all over the world doing this? Like, student debt wasn't a thing in the 30s. What do they have on him? Not explained, but anyway.
Contractual obligations.
Again, if we're just ignoring the movie, I suppose.
Probably some, like, they're blackmailing him with the, like, honor and dignity of, like, all the women that he keeps running into and having flings with.
I don't know.
Because it's set in a time when, like, scandal!
I don't know.
Could have been a thing.
But it was just like...
I don't know. They're blackmailing him. That's canon now. He lives in Indiana and is actively being blackmailed by a museum.
That's the implication. But it's like, for what? For what? What do they have on him? It's not student debt. Like, that's the first thing that comes to mind. It's like, oh, someone who's tenured, or not even tenured, but like a faculty like member, like has the degrees and would have been... Anyway. So the thing he's being commissioned to go track down is the Ark of the Covenant, which no one in this museum has ever heard of. And I'm just like, all right, none of y'all, like, I don't know. I'm pretty religious. I know what the Ark of the Covenant is, but not from this movie. There's the thing called the Bible, Amy. It's been around for a while.
Yeah, I don't know if you realize this, Amanda, but a lot of people don't read it.
I know.
Like,
I know. But I was just like, yeah, they've never heard of that.
Amanda's like, sometimes she'll be like, yeah, you know, like in the Bible when this thing that I've never heard of happened. I'm like, no, nobody.
Well, anyway, I've read it. So I assume any upstanding museum school administrator would have, except they're not upstanding, they're blackmailers. This movie's making more sense all the time. Anywho, Indy doesn't believe in that hocus pocus stuff, but the Nazis want it to take over the world, and so he's got to get it first. And the first step is to go to Nepal, where he studied with an old guy and the guy's daughter doing archaeology things and a little on the side with the daughter, because she's got this guy's old relic from a spear, from a thing that goes and shows you a place on a map, you know, standard treasure hunt stuff. And he shows up to Nepal and she's like,
"You got a lot of nerve showing up in my bar."
In my bar.
In Nepal.
You dog.
Yeah.
And he's like, whatever, lady. Give me your stuff for money. And she's like, come back tomorrow. And then some Nazis show up. And then it turns out Indiana was there the whole time watching the Nazis do stuff. And then there's a big old fight and some fire and things and guns and liquor and fighting and stuff. And the bar burns down. And it's like, well, now I'm your partner, Indiana. And so they fly somewhere. They fly to Cairo.
Uh-huh.
Because now they've got the thing to go on top of the spear.
And they do the cool, like, red line on a map thing with the flying, which I love.
Yes. They do
with
that.
Their da, the red line goes and you're like, ah, adventure. And very low budget on that part, right? Yeah,
intentionally
very, nice.
Very low budget. Yes, let's not show the adventure. That will cost us less. And then they get to Cairo, and there's a Nazi monkey. This monkey just loves Hitler. Okay, guys. And they do some Cairo stuff, and the monkey's a double agent playing both sides. Well, no, not playing both sides, just playing the one side. The monkey is dedicated to Hitler. Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
Don't get it twisted.
Yes.
But then the chick ends up getting kidnapped by a bunch of Egyptian guys. There's a standoff in like a plaza with Indiana and a sword guy where Indiana shoots him down instead of engaging in sword play. And all of the other people in the plaza are like, hey, party time. We love it when people die. And, you know, it's like, as one does. Then there's a standoff because, like, the lady appears to have been blown up in a truck explosion. And so instead of talking to the local authorities, Indy goes off to a bar somewhere and gets drunk. And then the Nazi archaeologist rival,
who's French,
yes, shows up and like has Indy escorted to his different bar for a little tete-a-tete. And then some irresponsible adult man archaeologist from Cairo sends in a horde of, I think, his children to act as like
human body shields.
Yeah. For Indies.
He like, says, better than the U.S. Marines.
And it's like, all right, we just watched like Indy gun down a man in the street and everyone celebrate because of how fun that was. And you're telling me these people who are not just carrying swords, but like heavy artillery, aren't going to gun down some children? Okay, dude. Like... especially for Nazis, like, come on, obvious choice. And
this is 100% worth it to have you do the plot, by the way. Keep going. I'm seeing it through your eyes, and it's ridiculous.
Yes.
Which I knew it was ridiculous, but your eyes focus on things that are maybe not even what most people focus on for being ridiculous.
I'm just like, what the hell? Why are you doing this? Who thought this was a good idea? And I know who thought it was a good idea. And I've been holding for a long time that they're idiots.
Yes.
So they determined to sneak into the dig site. Because the Nazis
They found the city of Tanis.
And based on the one side of the amulet thing that the head Nazi burned his hand on, grabbing it from the Nepal fire, and so they only got half the instructions, so they're digging in the wrong place. And so they go to where the sun shines good for the puzzle pieces, and they find the right place to go dig, and they're disguised as the Egyptian diggers. And so they walk through the dig site to the right place, and in the dead of night, under cover of dark, they dig so that they can get to the Ark of the Covenant. And somewhere in there, Indiana also finds out that the chick is still alive and being held captive in exchange for information, or just because she's sexy white meat, I guess. And he's like, wait, if I rescue you from certain bad things, that would give away the whole plan to get this ancient artifact I don't believe does anything special. So I'm just going to leave you here while I go take care of the important thing.
Uh-huh.
And he does.
Uh-huh.
And then there's this little side plot with, like, is it Marion?
Uh-huh.
Marion, the chick, like, getting...
faced. But she's only pretending.
In a wedding dress...
slash an ID? I don't know.
Slash prom dress? It's certainly, I don't think it was 30s style.
It was something.
It was a choice.
It was.
By this French pervert.
Are you having a moment of silence for like French perverts everywhere, or are you just like what is this? You're like, oh, she's there with the French pervert, and then you got very quiet in that way that like, they always go after the French perverts.
Do I need to say anything about how it's okay to have kinks? Like, or do we not need to comment on that? Because it's like, yeah, wedding night, like, it looks like a bad wedding dress, right? Like, yeah. Maybe that is his kink.
Yeah.
That's why I call him a pervert, not because he's French.
Oh, so you were, you were kink shaming, not racist, is what you're saying? So you're having a moment of silence for your own moral fortitude there, weren't you?
I'm just like, it's perverted in that he's got the power disbalance, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, if she were in a position to consent to that, that's different.
Uh-huh.
But she's not.
Yeah.
So, like, that's why I'm calling him a pervert, let alone a French one. It's because...
Okay, so
I'm sorry.
The French pervert does really like her, though. He likes Marion, and they're just drinking and talking about their childhoods. And I mean, the French pervert thinks he's on a date.
Yeah, he thinks he's being very charming.
Yeah,
and
and she plays him really well.
Yes, to no effect. Because the whole thing was to, like, hide a knife and get him sloshed so she could run out of there. But she wasn't... If she was playing drunk, she continued to play drunk even after the gig was up. I think she was just drunk.
I don't think she was.
But, like...
Because the whole thing was they showed you at the beginning that she can handle her liquor better than...
Oh, I know.
The best.
And that's where I thought it was going, except she still acted drunk even after the gig was up and then proceeded not to stab the man. The whole, like, her whole endeavor
was working perfectly until the German guy showed up.
You know what would have worked even better? No witnesses. No one to sound the alarm once you run away. Because, like, even if she's holding a knife to him in the moment, as soon as she's not in that tent, he's letting everybody know, woman's loose with a knife. Bring her back. I need to, like, finish some things.
That's not what I think the French pervert would have done.
What do you think this honorable French pervert would have done?
Passed out.
Well.
He was sloshed.
Maybe. He would have passed out a lot faster if he also had a little blood loss.
Not everybody is as comfortable with stabbing as you seem to be, Amanda.
I'm just saying, when the situation warrants it, go all in. So, anyway, it doesn't work, whatever her plan was. And she ends up getting thrown in the snake pit with Indiana, because meanwhile, he's been down there with his Cairo archaeologist friend, and they managed to get the Ark of the Covenant out, but by that point, they've been discovered, so the timing is such that the only person left in this big old snake pit is Indiana, and he doesn't like snakes. And so they throw Marion down in there just for lulz, and then they close the pit over. And then they close the pit back up, and they start putting Nazi pizzazz on their Ark of the Covenant box, because, you know, you got to dress it up. Because how would anyone know it's a Nazi box if not for all the Nazis transporting it, but also it being clearly labeled?
Yeah.
And then they...
Well, the Nazis were actually known for being very organized like
no,
that.
No, I know,
so,
I know.
You know.
I know. It's just silly.
Yeah, well,
they,
I mean,
have
not...
they have a spray paint stencil.
Yeah.
It's,
as you do.
It was just like, okay.
Oh my gosh.
I just licked the mic. Anyway.
No.
It was an accident. Not intentional. So Marion and Indy do some fighting. He, like, rips half her dress off to make a thing for something. I don't even remember what he uses it for. What did he need it for? What was he doing with that? Did he use it to climb the statue?
I don't know.
He definitely tore it off.
Yeah.
I don't know what for.
Yes, to climb the statue. We're just going to say to climb the statue.
Okay. We'll assume as much.
Yes.
And he uses a big statue to bust through a wall, which is just filled with corpses for reasons.
And snakes.
And they're standing upright.
Corpse snake.
Again, for reasons. And Marion's having a very bad time because she's managed to run head first through, like, every turn is the wrong term. Every way you look, a corpse with a snake in its mouth. And it's like, and he's like, oh, the exit's that way. And they, like, climb out through the one loose giant block in the pyramid.
That takes them right out to the airfield. So they were parking their airplanes right next to this very obvious Egyptian artifact. Entrance looking place that they never chose to excavate.
They may have opened up the other side. But also, you're right, idiots. Are you saying that there's issues with the plot and moving from location to location, Amy?
Yes.
Oh boy. Okay. And anyway, then they fight on an airplane. Because they're going to take the airplane, which aren't... No, the airplane wouldn't have the ark loaded onto it. That thing didn't have a cargo hold. Why were they taking the airplane?
They were escaping. They had just been sealed in a tomb full of corpses and snakes.
They were going to try to regroup later and get the ark. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I was just like, wait, that's not that kind of airplane. And as a citizen... And someone who has a physical form they inhabit, watching that offended me deeply.
Why?
Because of the era it was filmed.
Uh-huh.
They're having not even stunt people, although I would be ashamed, even if it were stunt people, were I in charge of that set, doing choreography around live propellers.
Have you... not been to Disney World?
No.
They do this scene at Hollywood Studios.
I know.
I've seen it several times. It's amazing. They also do the, like, big rock.
Yeah.
And they do the airplane.
I understand that it's cool to look at. However, I have been around several airplanes and propellers and things throughout my life. And... heard and seen the horror stories, like a couple, like, I don't know, 9-10 years back, there was a particular photo shoot being done for Boeing or a watch or something, and the model got her face taken off because the photo shoot was next to a live propeller and she missed her mark. Like, it hasn't happened at Disney World, apparently, but they did manage to run over Harrison Ford, and he was stuck under the airplane for 40 minutes. So,
yeah.
Before I knew about him literally getting run over by the plane during the scene, just watching it, I was like, oh, the idiots, the idiot crew is working with live propellers! The people who trapped what's-his-name in Jaws underwater in the shark cage and couldn't get him out are using live propellers. So I was alarmed.
And that guy totally bit it in the propeller, Amanda.
In the movie, yes. And guess what? Because that happens in real life. So I was offended.
Okay.
By the very conceit of the scene. Because there are ways to pull that off safely with CGI, but, like, they didn't care about realism with their CGI anyway.
Well, they could have also put not propellers on the spinny bits.
Yeah, they could have been, like, little plastic things.
Flappies.
Yeah, and you just compensate for the sound after the fact. Like, there are things to have been done, but I did not see anything about that being done.
Okay.
And they ran over Harrison Ford with an entire airplane, and he was stuck under it for 40 minutes. Okay. Pretty sure they were live propellers. This was after half of the crew and cast had dysentery. So poor Harrison Ford.
Oh my god.
Who's turning himself inside out. Is stuck under an airplane, and the only reason it was sort of an inconvenience and not just like, well, we need another actor, is because the tire was so hot and it was on sand, and so it sort of molded around his leg. Only reason.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like 100 plus degrees what they were filming. It was
a nightmare.
It was a nightmare.
Let's finish the plot.
Okay. Anyway. So they fly away.
To boat.
And then there's Nazis on the boat.
And they get the Ark somehow.
Yeah. And then, like, they go somewhere. And Indiana is there, and he's got a rocket launcher, and he's threatening to blow up the Ark. Because
the Nazis come and take the boat and the Ark.
And Marion.
And Marion again.
Yeah. And then they're like, you won't do it. And he's like, aw, shucks, you're right. And so he's taken hostage, too. And then they go to, like, a cool...
cave area?
Cave.
With canyon-ish thing?
Classically, where Nazis set up camp, wherever that was.
Yeah.
And the French archaeologist pervert gets all dressed up old-timey biblically by some people's standards to, like, open up the Ark and look inside for lulz, because they want to make sure it's legit before they give it to Hitler. And then a bunch of ghosts and fire and God's Bible stuff happens, and Indiana and Marion are the only survivors because they turn their heads away and keep their eyes closed, like face melting stuff. And then,
as they do,
the lid of the Ark has been shot up into the sky in a burst of flame and goes woo 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 all the way back, and whoop, pow, lands perfectly and closes it, and it's safe now. And also, it conveniently burned through their ropes that were binding them to the street lamp in the cave. And so then they give the Ark to the U.S. government for safekeeping, and
they put it in a big giant warehouse that just goes as far as the eye can see, and it's clear that they'll never see the light of day again. The artifact, I mean.
Classic.
Yes, it is.
And Marion is still with Indy, even though their monkey Nazi child died tragically eating a poisoned date. So that's hard to get through as a couple, but they've managed.
There's not a lot of support groups for that.
No, it can be very isolating, is my understanding. So please have sympathy.
So what I'm hearing is that this really is basically the perfect movie.
By some standards.
Okay.
It is very well regarded. I just happen to disagree.
Okay.
Well, it's very well regarded by a majority. And then there's the minority that's like, hacks. And not even for the Spielberg and Lucasisms of it all.
Okay. Well, okay. Did you have something that really stood out to you that bothered you? Like, all right. I first want to say this movie, like the other adventure archaeology movies, are very colonialist in nature.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And Egypt in particular, in the Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah.
Has been robbed a lot by specifically the British.
Yes.
But, you know, the French, the Americans have all done their part to raid the cultural heritage of Egypt.
Yes.
But.
I mean, what a poor depiction of other cultures, man. It's like, if you're brown, you just love any kind of murder.
Yeah, yeah.
Woohoo! Time to party.
Yeah, so I don't want to spend too much time on the cultural theft aspect of it because we have covered that. But I do need to, like, that is the primary glaring.
Well, yeah.
Like, yes, this is colonialism.
Yeah.
But
I mean, that's probably my biggest issue with it, because watching it, well, aside from the whole betrayal of masculinity, right?
Uh-huh.
But that's the character, not the entire plot.
And it's really kind of a Harrison Ford character.
It is.
And he plays that kind of rakish, handsome guy.
Yeah.
That is terrible but lovable. Like, that's kind of,
I don't know, it just mostly came off as gross to me.
Yeah?
Well, you were like, what are you going on about over there? The kissing? And I was like, yeah, it sucks.
She was like really upset in the scene when they're on the boat and Marion's like put on a nightie. Because they keep putting her in stupid outfits that look like she just got married.
And Indiana Jones is like, kiss my boo-boos.
Yeah.
Kiss my boo-boos. I have a boo-boo on my lips. Kiss my boo-boos.
That is a way that a person, maybe Amanda even, could describe that situational concept there. I don't...
It was upsetting.
Wow. Wow.
It's like the worst kind of foreplay. Just so infantilizing. Like, again, like, if you got kinks, fine. But,
just don't ever let Amanda see any of them. That's what we've learned from this episode. Don't let Amanda see even the slightest hint of what she would consider weird sexually.
Like, if... Like, there has to be consent there. And clearly there's consent between Marion and Indy in this scenario. But
which means that you're just upset about what they like.
I personally found it distasteful, yes. It's not for me. Okay. The French pervert, I can see that doing it for some people.
What? Amanda. Whoa. No. The These Are Bad Movies podcast does not condone Amanda's behavior in the last 5 minutes of this podcast. She seems ashamed of herself over there too. That was the snort of shame.
I know who I am and where I can improve, okay? I'm a work in progress. Like the relationship as depicted.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. And not just for the kissing.
Okay.
But I was just like, I really was trying to think of a treasure hunting movie that I was familiar with or aware of in some way that didn't do the colonialism.
Right, right.
I was just like, try to think of one. And like, I read...
National Treasure.
Does it?
Does it?
Yes, it does. The City of Gold.
Oh.
What the Spaniards were searching for.
That... Oh.
Mm-hmm. That's the treasure they're looking for in that movie.
Oh, I thought they were looking for like a copy of the Constitution.
No, that was part of the map.
Oh.
The end goal... Oh. Was the City of Gold.
That movie was so uninteresting to me.
Oh, I enjoyed it very much.
Yeah.
At the time. I less so now.
I just... So uninteresting. All right. So my thing is that this does some interesting stuff with the Nazi depiction.
Yeah. They're...
Because while this is not Nazi classic depiction in film, it is...
It's pre the war.
Is it?
It takes place in the 30s. Or at least pre the U.S. joining.
Okay.
Which is interesting because the government is acting counter to the Nazis, but the actual U.S. government in reality
was very cooperative.
Hey, yeah. Those Nazis are cool.
Yeah.
They're doing cool things. Yeah. And the U.S. population at large was like, yeah, they got it right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Until Pearl Harbor. And so this is just totally ignoring that.
Yeah. But it is depicting a real Nazi treasure hunt.
They did actually search for
the Ark? They did actually search for the Ark.
Oh.
Yeah. So they were searching for the Ark and the Holy Grail. They were kind of trying to look for religious artifacts.
Probably the spear.
Well, it was really stuff to... I think they knew where the spear was.
Yeah, but like that would be one of those artifacts.
Yeah, yeah. But like that. And other artifacts depicting like the Aryan migration out of India.
Wasn't
like it
Atlantis
was very
a thing too.
Yeah, they just had like those conspiracy theories. They were seriously investigating
the occults.
Right. Yeah. So they were actually trying to find the Ark of the Covenant.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, whether or not they believed that it was going to grant them military superiority, that's not clear.
Or just be
it's
like
really possible that
really
they were
cool
just looking
thing.
For cultural superiority.
Exactly. Yeah.
But they were actually looking for it. And this movie imagining like, oh, they found it. And it's actually the magic artifact that is depicted in the Bible. You know,
mm-hmm.
that's a fun concept to me. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's actually depicting like historic realities
or perspectives.
Right.
Perceptions
and historic perspectives. I mean, that is a very classic, myth.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that they played upon that religious story being real as part of the movie.
Yeah.
Now, also, there's a lot of roots of conspiracy theory.
Yeah. I feel like you see that more in some of the later,
like the crystal skulls.
Yes.
Was but the crystal skulls again. That's an actual, like, mythological power item.
Aliens did the pyramids.
Yeah, that the, you know, communists were looking for. So they did, like, they do a really good job of trying to integrate these.
Communists were looking for an alien crystal skull?
Yeah, definitely, sure.
No, like, I'm asking, what were the communists looking for?
That was what they were looking for in the fourth Indiana Jones.
No. But like in reality, were communists looking for a skull like that?
Yeah, I think so, actually. Like, I think that they also were still looking for like mystical power items.
Huh.
I mean, I think the U.S. was too.
Well, yeah. I mean, like we're idiots too.
Yeah.
I say.
Yeah. So I like that they had time period correct
concepts.
Like superstitions, yeah. Beliefs, like depicted in there. I think that was really neat. Now, I think it didn't really do anything to show that the Nazis were Nazis other than give them swastikas and occasionally a German accent.
And, you know, they're real mean to Indy.
Right, right. So.
And. Oh.
So with like this underlying, like, Nazis bad, right? The Nazis bad part is the part that I actually really liked, right? Like,
yeah.
Let's go fight some Nazis with a whip, preferably. Like, mm-hmm. Holy moly. If I saw a Nazi and had a bull whip, it'd be over for them. Once I learn how to use a bull whip, because I still haven't done that, but I'd really like to.
Well, first you need a whip. Do you have a whip?
No.
Step one.
I know, but like I know somebody that has one and I've tried it and I can't make it make the nice snappy sound.
Well, it takes a lot of work.
Well, but I want it to happen quicker, please and thank you.
Well,
also, they don't
behave in the way. No. They're not grappling hooks.
No, they're not.
And I feel like I'm glad I figured that out before I tried to use one as a grappling hook in
to
an emergency situation, okay?
Over all those quicksand pits you're running into all the time.
But yes, so this whole, it was, all of the archaeology wasn't really necessary to fight the Nazis, it turns out.
Also, they were not good archaeologists. Like, I understand it was another time pressure situation, but it's like, yeah, let's destroy everything.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, you're not really a paragon of your profession, are you?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't think they did care. Archaeology destroyed a lot of things in that era, actually. That's true.
It is.
They just broke through things. They didn't care. Mm-hmm. Like, they just did not. It was a colonialist endeavor. Mm-hmm. They were not actually concerned about preserving the artifacts. They were looking for trophies.
Yep, this is true.
And, you know, there's a certain amount of this movie actually depicts that.
Yeah.
But it also makes it look really cool.
Yes.
Right?
Well, that was the point of the movie.
Right.
It was about the cool set pieces and fights.
Right.
Like, literally, George Lucas and Spielberg sat at one of their vacations and wrote up all these cool fight scenes and hired someone else to fill in the story.
So, kind of going with the specific brand of colonialism that Indiana Jones had, like, they really captured some weird truths about archaeology, minus like the whips and the guns and stuff like that.
Only if you're doing it wrong.
Right. But that's how they were doing it at the time. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
I
meant if you didn't have the whips and guns and stuff. You're
doing
it wrong.
Apparently, this was one of my favorite things that I remember from my undergrad. When I was in history school, because of Indiana Jones already, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I took a class, Colonial and Post-Colonial Southeast Asia.
Okay.
And the Temple of Doom, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, came up in that class because it's so very racist.
Yeah.
Like, it is super racist. And apparently, all the film reviews made it even racistier, because the reviews at the time were saying things like, wow, they really did a great job speaking gibberish. And my professor was like, they were speaking Sinhalese. They speak that language in Sri Lanka. I am fluent in Sinhalese, he was telling us, you know, because he had gone there, you know, in the Peace Corps, which is also very colonialist, but he spoke Sinhalese.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what they were speaking in Indiana Jones. But the movie reviewers at the time were like, oh, what an interesting gibberish language they have made up.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they had gone the effort to, like, speak a less known South Asian language, and then everybody went, must be gibberish.
It was made by racists for racists.
It sure was.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that one is particularly racist.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, and like, I've been to Egypt.
You have?
Granted, not in the 80s when this was filmed.
Yeah.
And like, I don't imagine it being all that different from when I went. They're just people. They got all the amenities.
Uh-huh.
And like, they even had where they filmed, which wasn't in Cairo. But where they did film all those shots, like in the plaza and the cityscape and stuff, they had to remove satellites and antennas from all of the houses, like from 300 houses for their shots. And it's like, even where you did film wasn't just their barbarians, you know?
Well, but there were, the movie was took place in the 30s. So.
I know. And so like,
you it get, wasn't, it
I understand the time difference between what they're going for, but even in the 30s, there weren't barbarians. Like, come on. Racist, clearly. But I just don't, I don't appreciate it, man. Like, especially if I've been somewhere, I'm like, you're doing it wrong. Like, I feel like if you go somewhere, unless you have the most absolute worst experience, you love it.
Right, right.
Like, I have love for Egypt and Cairo. And they did it so dirty. They did it so dirty.
Yeah, they did.
They did it so dirty.
They did. And it does reinforce, like, what the reason that Egypt was so pilfered is because they were portrayed as being so backwards that they couldn't be trusted to preserve and maintain these artifacts that had been there in their care for like 6,000 years.
Yes.
But in the 1930s, it was like, they're too backwards to handle this. And this movie...
No, I mean, it started...
with it, that's part of it, because it did depict so many real things from the time, like that Hitler was looking for the Ark of the Covenant, like that, you know, archaeology was more roguish swagger than science, you know, that when they depict things like, oh, the Egyptians don't have a problem with this, and they're very backwards. That can blend in with the things that were actually pretty accurate in this movie otherwise.
That idea, like the going to Egypt specifically and taking these artifacts and breaking into tombs and all that kind of stuff, didn't start in the 30s. Victorians were doing that.
Yeah.
Like, this had been well established before.
Yeah,
30s and Indiana Jones and all that.
Yeah, but they started justifying themselves more around that period of time.
Well, they didn't feel like they needed to in the Victorian era.
Well, yeah, because in the Victorian era, I mean, you had, you were still looking at actual conquest. It was considered kind of spoils of war. But by like the 30s, they were talking more in terms of being just the right people to care for the artifacts.
Well, yeah. They want them back. They want them back.
Oh yeah,
like the Cairo Museum. I don't recall exactly what it's called, but the big museum in Cairo is amazing, and has all these wonderful things, and an understanding of them, and it could have so much more, because a lot is still
at the British Museum.
With the British.
Yeah.
And then also, like, there have been several break-ins over the years, just taking stuff out since. Like,
yeah.
Actual, like, by today's standards and under today's laws, theft.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's
well, and sad. And that's one of the things, that this movie, and it's something that upsets me and does. This movie was definitely formative in, like, me being an anti-fascist. Good thing, right? But it is, again, just a cartoonish parody of what fascism is.
Yes.
And it's basically, like, just foreign. Because, yes, and America was full of Nazi sympathizers at that time.
Yes.
Full of them.
To the brim.
Yeah. Lots of big famous names. Lindbergh. Charles Lindbergh was a Nazi.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he was.
So was Ford.
Oh, yeah.
Ford was a Nazi.
Big time.
And I mean, there was legitimate Nazi party in America. Like, and it was way more acceptable than at the time.
I mean,
the Communist Party in America.
We were, like, fully in the eugenics swing at the time.
Yep.
We were doing it.
Yeah.
And looked and went, wow, if only we could be as good as them
yeah.
at doing it.
Yeah.
There was just a lot of support for Nazis. Mm-hmm.
You know what? Alexander Graham Bell would have probably been pretty sympathetic to a lot of their stuff, if not an outright Nazi.
Yeah.
Actually, like he was big into eugenics and sterilizing those deemed as bad for society.
So was the Graham of the Graham cracker fame.
Yeah, that perv.
Yeah. And I think like cornflakes.
Yeah, I know cornflakes.
Those like really
Kellogg's.
Yeah, those really bare.
Not
essential
even
grain things.
Not even frosted.
Yeah.
Like plain foods will suppress your urges.
Like if you decide to be a French pervert, which is acceptable, but no kiss my boo-boo. If you ever think kiss my boo-boo, you need a graham cracker.
If you have a graham cracker in each hand, that doesn't leave any hands free for sin.
Anyway, I am still grateful to this movie for making me hate Nazis. Even though you could definitely hate Nazis better than this movie.
Yeah.
Do you have an Ubrick? She is not making any noise, but she's making a lot of faces. Sometimes. Amanda, this is audio only.
Trying to express my deep discomfort and disgust with some of this film.
Holy moly. Okay.
What about you?
Mine has to go like da 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 da. Which, by the way, I do own the soundtrack, and sometimes on nice days when I'm feeling catty, I will just blast that with all the windows down when I drive around in my car.
That is so specific.
And hunt for some Nazis.
Ah.
They're still out there.
Sometimes I do wish we had a visual element. Just so people could see my disbelief and confusion.
Well, the confusion I get, the disbelief, get over it, it's real.
No, just that you, okay? Not the rest of it, you. Also, the Indy's whole thing, if you think he's like a cool, sympathetic character, yikes, you're gross. That's my... That they wanted him to be very sympathetic and like a cool guy with women.
Amanda really does need to work on her kink shaming.
No.
Really badly.
The first pitch George Lucas made for a love interest is that like when he and Marion had their relationship the first time that went so bad and she was real upset, she'd been 11 and he'd been an adult. And Spielberg said, you better make her older. So the backstory was she was like 15 instead of 11. And they thought they were making a cool guy. He sucks. Thank you. End of story.
I hate you so much sometimes. And this is probably our last episode.
Am I wrong, though?
Yes, you're wrong. Just on principle.
George Lucas and Steven Spielberg, if they're saying this guy's cool, he's probably not. Thank you, end of story.
It's too bad you're just wrong.
Oh, so you like perverts?
Again, Amanda. It's possible that you have some work that you need to do on yourself here.
So is this a libertarian thing where as long as you consent at any age, it's cool?
No. This is I'm not paying attention to Marion. I get that you are paying attention to Marion, Amanda, but I am not.
You have to shield yourself from the reality so you can continue.
No, it just doesn't
to love
like,
the things
no.
that you love.
No, I like her. I think she's cool and
I'm
she's
not
fine.
Saying the problem is with her character as portrayed, like by all means, it was pretty good for the time. But the idea that Indiana Jones is someone to emulate as like having...
I do what I want, Amanda. Okay. And this is over. This whole podcast is over. Okay. This episode is over. We're not coming back. It's done.
No, I said my piece. I know I'm right. So, bye. Oh wait, gosh. We have an ending. We're professional.
Well, at least one of us is. Don't watch this at home.